Before we begin, I'd like to emphasize that this podcast is an extension of my surgical work and research at Visionary Eye Doctors, and thank you all for tuning in every week or multiple times to kind of hear our about our research and how we help patients. And thank you to all of you who have flown in from all over the world to see us here, so I'm very humbled by that. So it is my hope and desire to keep this information free to all of you, especially to my dear patients. And in keeping with this mission, we are very thankful to our first sponsor for this podcast, Wizard Dry Eye Mask. Many of you have heard me talk about the Wizard before. I have loved this product for years. It looks like this. I have one right next to my bed. So does my husband. I used mine last night. And even, you know, if I can't sleep, I'll use it. It's a wonderful product that you just plug in next to your bed or even at your computer. I've been known, if I start to develop a sty, to do the Wizard as I type and then switch, you know, if I have warm, just like a warm compress. So it works wonderful for that. So thank you to the Wizard. If you mention our name, podcast, Visionary Eye Doctors, Dr. Kramer's, they'll give you a 1-year guarantee. If anything happens to the product, just call them up and they'll replace it for you for free. So thank you to the Wizard Research team for sponsoring this podcast. Enjoy. Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Sandy Laura Kramers. Thank you for joining us for the EYE Show podcast. Today, we're going to talk about one of the most common questions I get asked, and this is part two of this three-part series on the hormonal influences on dry eye disease. So we have many patients that are preparing for cataract surgery or glaucoma surgery or have had surgery or just living their life and they wake up with horrible pain, sometimes waking them up at nighttime, burning, reflex tearing, itching, redness. All of this, the pain, the redness, the grittiness, is partly due to inflammation. And one of the key components of inflammation is your hormonal health. And as we go through life from puberty on towards, you know, menopause, getting older, everything dries up. Our cells start to have this process called apoptosis, where they have programmed cellular death. And hormonal health can influence that. So whether you're a woman and starting your menses or pregnancy or postpartum or, you know, miscarriage, those things have effects on your hormonal health from the estrogen and progesterone point of view. But women also have testosterone. And the same thing for men. As they get older, their testosterone will decrease. And if you're having a procedure, let's say you say just benign prostatic hypertrophy as a man, or you have a testicular problem or a cancer, that affects your hormonal health. Additionally, the medications that we use can affect the changes of those hormones through time, making them go up and down or decrease them or make them just kind of go out of whack. And that can affect also how your eyes feel because it affects directly the oil production and the water production. So things like Accutane, isotretinoin, we've talked about in previous podcasts, has a big effect on a lot of people's meibomian glands because it's drying up the oil of your skin. And so things like, I'll have patients come in and say, yeah, when I was on Accutane, I really had some dryness, but I didn't think much about it and I kind of ignored it. And then as they go through aging, all of a sudden that can sometimes catch up with them. So other things like, of course, birth control pills, anything with hormone changes, of course, chemotherapy, things that will affect it can cause hormonal imbalances. So today we're going to speak specifically about testosterone. Next time we'll talk more about estrogen and progesterone. So testosterone has five big things it does for our hormonal health of the meibomian glands. Number one, it basically helps produce the kind of meibom. It stimulates the meibom because the meibomian glands have receptors for androgens, which is like testosterone, a sex hormone, androgen. So it basically helps produce it. There was one study that showed that meibom itself has almost no testosterone, but the meibomian gland intrinsic to the gland actually produces testosterone within the gland to help stimulate the meibom secretion. So that's kind of cool in the sense that if you actually analyze meibom, there's really not that much testosterone actually in the meibom. So that's number one. Number two, it basically regulates the actual kind of hormonal change within the gland to decrease inflammation. So testosterone is crucial to help keep inflammation at a minimum. Estrogen, for some people, if it's too much, can actually increase inflammation, but testosterone has that kind of decrease effect, which is helpful to prevent scar tissue. Because inflammation, which we see as redness or sometimes that kind of pain, is going to lead to more scar tissue if you don't address it. That's why it's crucial to do something if you feel symptoms of your eyes. The third thing is basically to prevent keratinization of the meibomian gland. So you'll see, we'll see sometimes when we're doing videos of the expression, there's a little white layer of cells on the meibomian gland orifice. That's the opening of the gland. That's where the oil comes out, and it's covering the orifice. And testosterone really does decrease that keratinization. So one more thing is basically I think the enhanced lipid stability, that's number four, is helping the stability of the lipid layer. And then the last one is just to prevent gland atrophy. So the atrophy is something that can be very devastating to patients. So I tell patients, again, the glands should look like these white lines, like piano keys filled with oil. As we get older, everything dries up. We used to kind of wait till symptoms were present, where there was significant gland loss, and ideally both together. But now most of the doctors in the world are treating even if there's one gland gone, because we know which way this is gonna go, guaranteed. We're all gonna dry up. And if you're on screens, if you're looking at me, I tell people, don't look at me, I'm no longer eye worthy. Practice using your hearing, because it's crucial to close your eyes, decrease the inflammation and blinking to keep that oil pumping. And testosterone is actually important in this. So as you get older, I'm a big fan of trying testosterone, because now there's been multiple studies showing that the side effect profile is close to zero, as long as you don't have a testosterone-based cancer. So if you have cancer, check with your oncologist first, or even breast cancer, or some type of kind of hormonal-based cancer. But those are, even with those patients, seems to be safe. There was a study to indicate that testosterone has a very limited effect in terms of its effect, let's say when you're using the medication in certain types of patients. So you want to talk to your doctor about it before you use testosterone. And the number of studies that have been done that I could find with testosterone drops and creams are very small, about six of them. Most of them have a total number of patients around 12 to 20, so it's a very limited number of studies. But the patients that I've treated with testosterone have positively had an effect in general, probably about maybe 70%. It's not been a wow, but I haven't had anyone have a side effect. And so the way we use it is basically, to me, it makes sense to use testosterone drops, but some of the studies were transdermal cream, where they would put the cream anywhere on the body. And so I think that we haven't had patients need to put it near their eyes. We haven't had anyone have increased facial hair. We haven't had checked hormonal even levels on these patients. But some of the men that I've treated will get an androgen profile with their primary doctor to see where their level is. A lot of patients notice that there is a decrease. And so then we'll use the testosterone cream to kind of increase their testosterone levels in their body, which seem to help dry eyes in some patients. Let's talk a little bit about medications that can affect testosterone level or androgen level that have a devastating effect on your meibomian glands. The number one is called finasteride. Finasteride is a chemical drug that's used, for instance, for alopecia to kind of help with hair loss. Sometimes it'll be used for benign prostatic hypertrophy. And there is a syndrome now called post-finasteride syndrome, which the biggest symptom is dry eye disease. And I've seen now about 50 patients or so with this syndrome or dry eye disease, and we don't know exactly why it affects some men and not other men, because it's a medication used by millions of people around the world, men specifically, and even some women. But for some reason, it can have a significant consequence on the meibomian glands, and we'll see it by when we push the oil out, the oil comes out white instead of golden olive oil the color. And the reason is because there's such significant inflammation in that gland that it's literally just taking away the crucial elements that allow the oil to come out the way it should, to keep the tear, the water part of the eye, the tear on the eye longer. So finasteride can be a big problem. So if you already have dry eye disease, do not try finasteride unless you checked with your ophthalmologist and your primary care doctor or whoever's prescribing it, because it can have significant consequences. And if you find you're having dry eye symptoms with finasteride, stop it immediately, get a mibography, talk to a dry eye specialist or an ophthalmologist that at least has a mibography, so you can see and talk about what's really going on, and have somebody express the oil, ideally after an IPL or even without an IPL, just to see if it's coming out white. If it is, it's from the finasteride, stop it. That's the number one drug that I see related to the testosterone component. But the biggest thing, of course, we see is Accutane medications, which has an effect on your androgen level to some extent. And that really does dry up that oil gland in many, many patients that we've seen. The percentage of patients with these medications that actually report symptoms can vary based on the study. With finasteride, it was high as 83%. Accutane, there's millions of patients that have used Accutane, and the majority of patients do fine. But for some reason, certain patients have a significantly worse outcome in terms of dry eye symptoms with Accutane when they use the medication, and also, or sometimes just different, they don't have any issues when they took it, but then as they hit the menopause or just they get older as men, it starts to really kick in. And I think the key component is that kind of double whammy or triple whammy of having the aging and then screen time. So if you're not blinking again, that will tip people over the edge, even if they never had problems with finasteride the first round or Accutane the first round, that kind of thing. So they'll notice it later on. The third medication, which has a big effect on the androgen levels of your meibomian glands and systemically is spironolactone. And there's not really any studies I could find saying that there is a causation of spironolactone with dry eye disease. And that's still probably true for even Accutane and finasteride. There's not been a randomized controlled prospective double-blind study with any of these drugs. But spironolactone, I've had now about 20 patients that have complained of dry eye disease, and their only quote-unquote crime or issue was spironolactone. Some of these patients, of course, might have a higher electronic screen time use of more than 4 hours, and we know that's definitely associated with increased dry eye disease, so it's hard to blame the spironolactone, but I can tell because of the way the oil comes out when we do the expression. It comes out like white toothpaste, and that is abnormal, and that is a clear sign to me that there is deep inflammation in that meibomian gland, and assuming they don't have any type of autoimmune disease, which none of these have had so far, and they're younger patients. That's what's so interesting. They're using the spironolactone for acne, and they're younger. Often women, they're in their like mid-teens to 20s, I would say, maybe 30s, and they're having significant dry eye disease. So is it the electronics screen time? Is it the spironolactone? It's probably both. And so if you are on screens more than 4 hours a day, know that you might be that type of patient that has a negative reaction to any medication. And so testosterone is crucial for the meibomian gland. And so definitely think about it if you've tried other things to help your symptoms. Very low risk. It is not FDA approved, so it's off label. So you have to find a doctor that feels comfortable prescribing it. I think it's very safe, and I would use it for myself if I had tried other things that didn't work. So I hope you found this podcast helpful. Please pass it on to friends and family. Please continue to send us feedback. And thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.